Welcome to the 38th edition of Talkin' Wrestling with Pondwater Dave. As always, I'm Justin Davis, your host, and I'm joined, of course, by the namesake of this show, Mr. Dave Miller, Pondwater Dave, the first lady of the Arn Anderson fan club, Miss Amy Vaughn. And we have another guest with us this week, a very special guest, Mr. Jared Rollins from Tri-State Wrestling. Welcome, Jared. Thanks for being on here with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, we'll see if you keep that same energy and after a few minutes with us.
Well, Dave, here we are again another week. What's been going on in the world, Pondwater Dave?
You know, I just came off vacation. 9 days not having to work was pretty nice. Got back to work, and of course, when you get back, you have to pay for the time that you took off. So I've been busier than a one-armed paper hanger this week.
Which included taking a bump, apparently. It took you to get back in the swing of things over there.
Well, I got into it with potato chip rack, and we locked up, and I went hard way.
Oh, man.
They went Broadway.
Oh.
Potato chip rack's undefeated. It's like headbutting a Samoan. You're never going to come out on the good side of headbutting.
The rack does no jobs.
No. Undefeated. And it's much older rack. It's probably 1962 model. Anyway. Oh,
probably got some good lead paint. That's going to be good. Exactly. Might get looked into.
This week, I have a true predicament, and I need y'all to talk me through it. I think I know what the correct answer is. But have y'all seen National Lampoon's Animal House? Mm-hmm. You know that scene where the kid's trying to decide should he or shouldn't he? And a little angel pops up on one shoulder and a little devil pops up on the other shoulder.
Uh-huh.
That's real, y'all. Yesterday, Josh Newell, the promoter for Bayou Independent Wrestling, that's my predominant promotion I work for, he sends out the schedule for 2024.
Oh, goodness. So
I'm booked all through next year. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking through the dates, just, you know, trying to see where we're at, you know, just if there are any kind of conflicts that I know of right off the top of my head. And then I see May 18th, he's running a show in West Monroe. Good town for us, sell out every time. Well, my wife's birthday is on May 18th.
Mm-hmm.
So I message him back and I say, May 18th might be a problem. I didn't message him back and say, I can't do May 18th. I said, May 18th might be a problem. I don't know. And then the little angel pops up. You know, you should go ahead and tell him that you're not going to be there on May 18th. And then the little devil pops up and says, you don't know what's going to happen between now and then. So he tells me, let me know by January or February, if May 18th is going to be a problem. So now the angel's hard and heavy on my shoulder telling me, go ahead and tell him you're not going to be there.
Uh-huh.
And then the little devil's on my shoulder talking, you don't even know if she's going to make it to May 18th.
Oh, my God.
I mean, if she goes early enough in the year, you're probably going to be ready to referee by May. So,
yeah, because, I mean, as many things have tried to kill you and you haven't died, I think you're here to stay, Pondwater.
But the devil crossed the line on that one because I was offended that he would even suggest that there's a chance in the world that my 29-year-old wife is going to perish before May of next year. Where she will
Stephanie know about this wife?
And no. I mean, it's not like it's an anniversary birthday. It's not one of the traits because she's 29. She's going to be 29 again. It's not like a 30. We're not 30. We're not 40. We're not 50. She's 29.
Did you ask her?
Huh?
Did you ask her, like, hey, there's a show on the 18th of May?
No, Amy, I caught hell for it this year.
Oh, well, then why are we even having this discussion? If you've already caught hell for it, you need to say no.
I'm going to, and I'm probably not going to wait till January or February.
True.
But That's my predicament this week. I mean, and then the devil's telling me, I mean, yeah, how many more years are you going to be able to referee, old man? I mean, there's going to be plenty of birthdays after you quit refereeing. You've already got to close. Your window of being in the ring is going to close pretty soon. So.
I don't even consider this a predicament because we all know what you're doing. Stephanie's going to win this. So.
I mean, exactly. truthfully, when this camera gets turned off, I may not be in physical condition to ever referee again.
You may not see your next birthday.
So
exactly.
It's a heck of a predicament.
Well, we do.
But y'all know what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I think
hopefully the right thing. Well, we hope we know what you're going to do. We hope.
I am. I'm going to leave it up to our audience. So,
hey,
so go to @PWDPod on Twitter and tweet out how you think I should handle this. Should I referee on my wife's birthday, or should I go ahead and tell the promoter that I'm not going to be there and make a huge deal about her birthday next year, and give her my undivided attention that whole weekend?
I'm thinking if you do this, then you're going to have to referee every day for the rest of your life to pay for the alimony and everything else. We do want to say thank you guys that are in the chat with us. Darren Stanley, Mark Buffalo, Coach Keith Morrison, Terry Weaver, all kinds of people over there that's joining us tonight. Thank you guys so much. Holly Dizzle. Yep. We got some new people. So awesome. Thank you guys so much. Miss Amy, we have some trivia, I think, related to Mr. Rollins that's here with us today, right?
Yes, we do. So Jared had mentioned that he was a big fan of Macho Man Randy Savage, who also happens to be one of my favorites up here. So I pulled together some, I want to see what kind of fan Jared really is of the Macho Man and all of us, actually.
The pressure's on.
Pressure is on.
I had the pleasure of being on a podcast this week, the Zip Code Bros.
Oh, yeah.
And they talked about the Macho Man, Randy Savage, and we all had to do a Macho Man impression ordering pizza.
Hold the mushroom. Yeah.
He definitely, Justin has the best one, I say.
That's pretty good.
Good, Justin.
What you got for us, Amy? I think I might be able to get more than one or two right this week, possibly, but I don't know. We'll see.
Okay.
He's actually my second favorite growing up, but behind, of course, Bret Hart. So I'm also a pretty big Macho Man fan.
Awesome. Well, good deal. These are going to be some good ones. All right. This is fill in the blank. What is Randy Savage's middle name?
Oh.
It is Randy. It's his first name.
Yeah.
Not Randall. We all know Randall, Keith Orton. What is Randy Orton? Randy Orton, listen to me. What is Randy Savage's middle name? It's not Macho.
Macho Man. It's on the boots.
First name Macho, last name Man.
Oh, man. I'm just going to say.
You can answer in the chat, Darren.
I'm just going to say his dad's name, which is slipping my mind right now.
Angelo.
Randy Angelo Savage. That's what I'm going to go with.
Anybody want to guess? Well, Poffo, but yeah. Anybody else?
I have no idea on this one.
You are so close, Justin. It is Mario. Randy Mario Poffo.
Well, Luigi was my second guess.
Holly Dizzle got it.
Oh, did she? Oh, yay! Good. Okay.
With a question mark, but
yes.
Well, I don't know if that Mario was an answer or a question. It's like Mario.
Answer that question is yes.
Exactly. So, as you know, he didn't always want to be a wrestler. He was actually signed by what major sports organization right out of high school for his athletic abilities on the field?
Now that one I know.
I think it's the Cardinals.
Everybody, what do you think, Jared? Is that correct?
I believe it was the Reds who signed him out of high school.
See, I thought it was flip. I thought he
went. Maybe it was the other way.
Reds for, Reds second after the Cardinals, but let's see who's right.
I thought it was the St. Louis Cardinals and put them in the minors.
Yes, you all are. Everybody's kind of hitting on it. He was signed by the Cardinals. He was in the farm league, and he did play both Cardinals and Reds, you know, like in their little farm league. Yeah. He played 289 games over four minor league sessions. So he never actually made it up to the big leagues. He stayed in the minor leagues, but he played for four minor leagues sessions or seasons.
I love the story about when he decided to quit playing baseball. Lanny came home and Randy was out in the yard and he's taking all of his bats and breaking them on the tree out in the front yard. Time to wrestle. Uh-huh.
I think he hit. He's like career 264 hitter.
Yeah, he was a catcher, I believe.
Catcher and outfield.
Yeah, he spent most of his time in the outfield for the minor leagues, but he played catcher in high school. And I do think he kind of finished up with the Reds farm league, yeah. Terry, because he was in four. Like I said, he spent his time between the Cardinals and Red minor league teams. So, all righty. So, yeah, so he wanted to be a baseball player first. Imagine getting signed like that out of high school. Like, that's pretty crazy, I think.
A lot of kids get signed right out of high school. They'll skip the minor leagues. Yeah, they'll skip college and go to the minors and get that money.
Funny enough, related to that, my day job, I actually work for the Reds.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
My night job is I root for the Reds. So there's
that. He does.
We'll take it.
What do you do with them, Jared?
I'm in communications and marketing, do a lot with our branding and messaging and all of our kind of ads and promotions. So.
Oh, cool. I was just down at the stadium last Saturday, actually.
Oh, awesome.
All right, Amy, I think you're muted. Unmute yourself.
Amy does not do communications during the day.
Can y'all hear me now?
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah. Oh, I said, does that mean free tickets for Justin to be like an awesome fan? You know, that's good marketing because I'm sure he would root and cheer.
I went to four games this year, two in Houston, two in Cincinnati, and they've won all four. They're 4-0 in my trip. So
Don't be bashful. Ask to throw the first pitch.
Heck yeah.
You keep coming and having them win. I'll keep giving you tickets.
Hey. Yeah, he's like, might as well try it, right? He's wearing the same socks. I don't know. I like that one player who, what was his name? That stole three bases, home.
Elie Dela Cruz. He's an incredible athlete, that guy.
Oh, my gosh. That was so awesome.
Stole three bases and two pitches. I don't think I've ever seen that in my life.
Stole home. That was so cool.
Is he the guy that hit a home run out of the park against the Brewers the other night after the Brewers guy goes on his first attempt at bat? He almost hit a home run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, boom, he didn't just hit one. I mean, he hit it out of the park
over the
forerunner.
Their scoreboard yesterday or today said, when he came up, they said, we have nothing else to say.
Yeah, because after the first one they had on the scoreboard, almost hit a home run in his first at bat. And then the first pitch, he jacked it out.
Boom.
Yeah, in your face right there.
Well, we didn't mean to turn this into a Reds podcast, but what do you got next for us, Amy?
No, I got to figure out. Okay, this is multiple choice. What promotion did the Poffos enter after the closing of their own promotion, International Championship Wrestling? Was it Georgia Championship Wrestling, Mid-South, AWA, or Continental Wrestling Association? So after theirs closed, which ones did we start seeing the Poffos in?
I thought they went to Jarrett after theirs closed.
Yeah, Jarrett was calling it the CWF.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I thought it was Continental.
You all are correct. It is Continental.
Was it CWA or CWF?
I've got CWA, Continental Wrestling Association.
Okay, and CWF was the one in that was – the Parkers.
The Fullers. Yeah. Oh, yeah, like the Nashville side or
I just
whatever.
Know that Lawler's belt said CWF, CWA, AWA, WCCW, or WCWA.
Yeah. Remember when we talked to Mr. Jarrett, he took Memphis, or he bought that part, and then they took who was that took Nashville? He ended up buying it. Anyway, we'll think about it later. Randy was there for approximately a year, and when he signed with the WWF, he ended up having a Loser Leaves Town match with Jerry Lawler on June 7th, 1985, which he obviously lost and ended up debuting a couple weeks later in the WWF. Sorry, spoiler. Sorry for all of you all that was going to watch that tonight. I apologize. How many times was Randy Savage the Intercontinental Champion? 0, 1, 2, or 3?
Uno.
Yeah, just once.
Just once.
You are correct. I thought it might have been more, but
I had to think it through.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of weird. But he had the belt for 414 days, so it was over a year. He defeated Tito Santana February 8th, 1986 in Boston. His reign lasted 414 days, where he was defeated by Ricky Steamboat at WrestleMania III.
You know, fun fact about his Intercontinental belt. He tried to polish it with Brasso and messed it up.
Oh, really? Man.
That's why people call it the Brasso belt.
Who has that belt?
Conrad.
Does he? I figure. I thought that was one that he had.
Did last time. When I saw it. I mean.
Unless he sold it or something.
He had it at one point. I think he still has it. You know, and it's funny that out of everything that Randy Savage did, even being a multiple-time world champion, the Intercontinental belt, the Intercontinental Championship is the championship that I relate to him.
Yes, me too. I think it surrounds WrestleMania 3 because that is probably the most iconic, the most, for me, WrestleMania 3 is the WrestleMania of all WrestleManias. And I guess that's the reason why maybe I think of it like that, because he was Intercontinental Champion then.
Yeah.
So. I always love the design of that belt too. Like that classic design of that belt. And we actually used that as like the main inspiration for creating our title belt, because both myself and the owner just love the look of
it. I see it in there.
I'm with you on that, Jared. It's always been my favorite belt, the Macho Intercontinental belt.
I love your belt. It's one of the better. I mean, I can't think of very many promotions that have one as nice, if not as nice.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
Yeah. And Pondwater knows, so that's a call. Yeah,
that's a belt expert over there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He sees his belt grow about once every 3 or 4 months. I think.
All right.
It took him a minute to get that. Go ahead.
It did. That was a sneak attack.
I had a head injury today, okay?
Those are called traumatic brain injuries, is what you had, probably. Anyway, okay, this is a fill in the blank. So, Randy Savage won the WWF Heavyweight Championship twice in his career. Once at WrestleMania 4, defeating Ted DiBiase in the tournament final to win the vacant title. His second title reign began at what other WrestleMania?
That would be 8, yeah, against the Ultimate Puke. I think.
No,
it was Ric Flair. That's right.
Yeah, it was Flair. It was the She Was Mine Before She Was Yours.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. Yes. He took on Ric Flair at WrestleMania 8 in Indianapolis, Indiana on April 5th, 1992. And again, like you were saying, the storyline between Ric Flair and Randy Savage was that Rick and Elizabeth had been an idol.
Rick hit it first. That is a sneaky good WrestleMania too. That's one of my favorites, WrestleMania 8. the Piper, the face versus face match with Piper and Brett for the Intercontinental title. I love the Ric Flair Macho Man. I loved Macho Man's get up in that WrestleMania too. The black and gold is a really cool kind of outfit that he had on there for that.
Rick kissed them all.
I don't think you can go wrong with any of Randy Savage's outfits. He was definitely he put a lot of time and effort into what he was wearing. All right, this is a multiple choice. At the beginning of his WCW career, what major event did Randy Savage appear at where he saved Hogan from being attacked by the three faces of fear? And that would have been Kevin Sullivan, the Butcher, also known as Brutus Beefcake, and Avalanche, who was also known as Earthquake or John Tenta. So what event, and it, your choices are Fall Brawl, Starcade, Super Brawl, or Slamboree? The beginning of his
career. I have no idea, but for some reason I thought Starcade just because I remember the Booty Man or whatever and the Hogan and at Starcade maybe around that time.
The Booty Man.
I'm going to say Starcade because Andrew Hermes said it with the exclamation points after it.
Yeah, if you're right. If Andrew is putting out anything, he's usually pretty correct. And he is. And he even gave us the year. I didn't even ask for that. But Starcade is the correct answer. All right. Another question real quick. What year did we see Randy Savage in TNA? Was it 2002, 2003, 2004, or 2005? What year did we see Randy Savage in TNA?
I think it's five.
I was thinking 2003 for some reason.
I'm going to say 2002. I think it was relatively early to the launch, and it might have been on the weekly pay-per-views.
Well, our people in the audience are guessing 2004, and they would be correct. Y'all danced around it, but that's okay. But honestly, it was a very, very short run. He was only there for about a month, okay? And he did wrestle on the Turning Point pay-per-view in December. Like, he literally was there just in the month of December.
You're gone again.
Oh. Yeah. Really? Am I back?
We got you now.
Okay. It was Randy Savage, Jeff Hardy, and AJ Styles defeating the Kings of Wrestling, who were Jeff Jarrett, Kevin Nash, and Scott Hall. Alrighty.
Is that it? Well, we didn't do too bad. We did pretty good on that one, I think.
I got three more.
Oh, those are some tough ones.
Okay.
I got three more questions. I'll talk faster.
I told you before she logged in, I told you that they'd be. She's going to ask what his first prescribed medication was as a child. You watch.
Rogaine, probably.
Aww. What year did Randy Savage receive the penicillin shot? What year did Randy Savage? What year was Randy Savage awarded the Wrestler of the Year award from PWI? Was it 86, 87, 88, or 89? He was Wrestler of the Year according to PWI. What year was it?
I'm going to guess 87.
I'm going to guess 88 because I think that was the year of WrestleMania 4.
Yeah, I was going to say 88 because they tend to put a lot of weight on wins and losses for their rankings, I believe. So he would have been champion most of that year.
And Jared and Justin, you are correct. It was 1988. He was also the most popular wrestler of the year that year also.
You saw
and I do believe
on my fingers, I was trying to figure out when WrestleMania 4 was. I was like 85.
Oh, no, yeah. And my thinking was that he was champion for 414 days, and I went Intercontinental instead of World. So,
yeah,
that's okay. That's okay. What was the highest ranking Randy Savage ever achieved on the PWI 500 ranking? Okay. Was he number two, number four, number six, or number eight? What was his highest ranking on the PWI 500?
I'm going to go four.
I say maybe he got up to two. Let's say two.
I agree with Jared. I think it was two.
He was ranked number two behind Sting in 1992.
Ooh, missed it by that much.
Well, and in 1991, he was ranked fourth behind Hogan, Luger, and then Flair, and then Randy Savage.
Imagine ranking Savage behind Hogan and wrestling anything. What a crock.
In 1995, he was ranked number eight, and that was the last time he was ranked in the top 10. So, what year did Randy Savage go into the Hall of Fame? Was it 2013, 2014, 2015, or 2016?
I'm going to stick with my kind of pattern of going with four today. So I'm going to say 2014.
Jared, what do you think?
I'm going to guess 2015. I can't remember for sure.
I'm going to say 2016 because I think I was there.
I love when Dave says that. Like, I know. I think I was there, but I'm not sure.
I was there. I think he was on that. But the Freebirds went in, so you couldn't tell me crap that night about anybody else.
I wasn't even there. It was 2015.
I was not there.
You were not there. He was the headliner for the Hall of Fame 2015. He was inducted along with Rikishi, Alundra Blaze, Larry Zbyszko, Tatsumi Fujinami, Kevin Nash, the Bushwhackers, Arnold Schwarzenegger went in, and the Warrior Award went to Connor's Cure. So he was the headliner in 2015. And that, my friends, is just a little bit about Mr. Randy Mario Poffo.
Well, thank you. That was fun. I enjoyed that one.
Pretty good questions.
That's right. Cream rises to the top.
Well, we brought Jared on here not just to talk about Randy Savage, but we wanted to talk a little bit about, your wrestling promotion that you're running over there. So, Dave, take it away.
Well, Jared runs Tri-State Pro Wrestling. So, and that you're in Ohio. And, but before we get into your promotion, tell us a little bit about your background. Have you always been a wrestling fan? Were you a wrestling fan when you were a kid? Or?
Yeah, I've been a wrestling fan a long, long time. When I grew up in a smaller town in Southeast Indiana, kind of west of Cincinnati, Ohio. Where we grew up, you didn't get a whole lot of big time, things happening where we were at. We basically grew up next to the town of Milan, which was the inspiration for the Hoosiers movie, if you recall that story from them.
And I've been there actually to the gym that they
I mean it's a great museum they have there for it, but so we'd always have to go everywhere to see big shows. And there was one time when I was about 6 years old that the WWF ran a show at a high school that was a little bit of a bigger town nearby. And it was probably, this time of going on was probably a C show. there wasn't any of the really, really big names there. But I always remember Junkyard Dog being there. And I was able to get over by the entranceway and slap a high five with him, And as a 6 or 7 year old at that point, getting to do that with a wrestler that you've seen on TV constantly.
Oh yeah,
I'm glad you slapped his hand and not his cakes. Don't slap his.
No, don't do that. No. So that I was already a bit of a fan, but that hooked me for life. At that point, so you know, ever since then was a huge fan, you know, dipped a little bit, you know, when you first kind of got into maybe early teen years, but then all the stuff in the Attitude Era, the NWO, you know, the Austin stuff just hooked me right back in bigger than ever. So
isn't it kind of funny when we get to that high school age and we kind of dip out, I guess, because we're thinking about girls and whatever else. And then like you kind of come back in and like your early 20s. I did the same thing. I just, you know, it's kind of a weird thing how that happens.
Well, and I think, too, maybe like you were talking about, the NWO and wrestling was really hot back in the, you know, late 1990, you know, the Attitude Era and stuff. And it was edgy. And I mean, we've gone to friends' house at college, you know, and watched Monday Night. I mean, that was a huge thing. So I don't know if that helped. Like you said, you're introducing maybe a more edgy wrestling program and bringing, you know, those lapsed fans, like you said, when you're a teenager and you're got other things going on. Oh my gosh, Andrew, that's so funny.
Andrew popped you.
Oh my god, yes, he's so funny. Yeah, what am I gonna do with him anyway? So that is that's interesting. So now you go from being a fan and kind of getting it, you know, getting that love back to actually co-owning a promotion. How exactly do you make that step?
Yeah, it's been a wild ride. I told Dave right before we started, it's been crazy. You know, I'm the co-owner with my best friend, Logan, who, you know, we were best friends in high school. He's the guy that, you know, I got back into wrestling with there in that end of high school time. And, you know, we've been friends ever since then, best friends. And, you know, at one point he actually worked while we were in college and ran for college for Heartland Wrestling here in Cincinnati that was run by Les Thatcher, you know? Yeah. And so that was the time after the invasion and everything, where a lot of those old WCW guys were in developmental there. And, you know, so he got a lot of experience there. You know, contrary to what you might read in John Moxley's book, Logan is the one who gave him the Moxley name for the tag team that they had there.
Really?
Necessary Roughness, kind of based off the Varsity Blues movie. You know, John Moxon was one of the characters in there. And that was sort of where that came from.
What name did Logan wrestle under?
He didn't wrestle. He was just worked
by. Oh, he was working for Heartland. Okay.
Yeah. Cause we were very much of the mind of like, we love to tell stories. We took screenwriting classes and things like that. And we always got into like, you know, what's the fun of the story in wrestling? That got us hooked just as much as the ring stuff. And did so you he, all, you know,
did, go I ahead. Say, sorry. Do you, I'm sorry. I was going to say, did you all ever try to become WWE writers, WCW writers, anything like that?
We never really got pursued it too seriously. There seemed to be a lot of, you know, bumps to that. And just, I don't know that we're both very much, you know, born and raised around this area and have all our family around here. I don't know that either one of us would have ever really made that leap to go. Up to Stanford or anything like that.
Oh, I completely understand that. I was 40 years old when I started refereeing. So 39 years old. And the idea that I would give up my job with benefits to take that chance that late in life, you know, I completely understand that thinking.
Yeah, because look at your head. You need these benefits. Snake bites, spider bites, whatever else, alligators. You need some good premium United Healthcare, whatever you got.
Ain't lying.
Dave is he's a walking premium.
I am
walking. Yeah, really.
Somebody asked on Twitter. There's one of those accounts that always asks questions every day just to get engagement. Uh-huh. And he goes, "So how did you get that scar?" And I started to respond, "Which one?"
how long you got?
Like, how many characters do we have now on the X?
What body part do you want me to start with? Top, work my way down, kind of thing.
Right.
So was the promotion that you have now, was it a previous territory that you purchased, or is this really a ground grassroots kind of operation?
Yeah, it's really just something we started up. You know, we all over this time, you know, we always talk like, man, it would be so great to be like, you know, the ones who could put something together, you know, for a time, you know, we were kind of, you know, we were friends with Jimmy Yang. He was here in Cincinnati, and, you know, we had talked at one point about, you know, trying to get Jimmy or somebody, you know, maybe they would want to start a school and then we could kind of piggyback off of that. And so we had talked about doing something like that. And finally, you know, it was, you know, the fall of 2021, Logan and I were talking, we were like, we got to at least try this. Like, we're going to regret this if we never even give this a shot. So we were like, we're going to put together one show. And if we don't, you know, completely lose a ton of money, and if we don't just think this is so terrible, you know, let's give it a run. And so we ran a show in February of 2022. We had Carlito in the main event of the show, had some, you know, other guys that we picked up that were regional and local guys. You know, Logan had a connection with Jake Crist, you know, in the Midwest. So he was on the show, and it went pretty well. You know, we kind of broke just about even, maybe lost a little bit, but it was worth it. We just decided, all right, now let's try this out. Let's get a name for our company. Let's get a logo. Let's try to do this right.
Awesome. So your area was really excited for the wrestling that was coming in. Is that kind of what you felt like you were seeing and said, yes, I think we could do something in this area?
So was your first show in Indiana or Ohio?
Yeah. So our first three shows were all in Southeast Indiana and in Versailles, which is probably about an hour west of Cincinnati, you know, real small town, you know, USA, you know. And again, kind of tying back to, you know, us growing up out there, knowing, you know, that you'd have to drive to Cincinnati or Indianapolis or somewhere to go see action, you know, in a way, this is us kind of bringing fun and this and sort of big show to the small town.
Yeah.
And, you know, from there, we just knew that at some point we did want to expand and do some things in Ohio and kind of the greater Cincinnati area and, you know, try to build on it a little bit from that point. And so that's what we've done this year. And, you know, we're just really excited that, you know, we can kind of see this thing growing and, you know, becoming something that we can keep building on.
Right.
When you started up, were you like going into community centers or were you getting involved with schools and using the school gym?
Yeah. We ran in Versailles. It's kind of the old high school gym that still operates, to your point, as like a rec center. You know, the people use, so they give us, you know, cheap rent and they help out a lot. We let them run the concessions so that they, you know, make some money off that. It's a nonprofit that owns it. They just want to keep the building active and, you know, give people stuff to do. So they're all in on it. They give us, you know, connections to the local schools there. We've had, you know, spots where we've had one of our local guys come and appear at a school. We're actually in the process of doing a partnership with one of the local public libraries there, where some of our guys are going to take part in a photo shoot to help a library card drive, you know, in September. So we really did want to be part of the community, like not just, hey, we're flying in here, running a show, making some money and dipping out. We've had tables at local fairs, at farmers markets on Saturday mornings. I mean, all of that kind of stuff. It's been fun.
That's that. When you started up, does Indiana have a commission?
Indiana does not have a commission. So, you know, we kind of lucked out there a little bit, you know, don't have to worry about that part of it. Ohio does. So, you know, again, we got ourselves both licensed as promoters there just to make sure our bases were covered. And
how strict are they there? Just paying a fee for a license? Do they do the blood work too?
They really don't require too much from our end. You know, we do a permit for each event after we've got our promoter's license. The Kentucky, as you've probably heard, is a lot more strict on things. So, you know, we haven't really gone into Kentucky yet. And, you know, that's something, you know, I don't know if we're going to do that anytime soon, just until we kind of get a better understanding of all the parameters there. But
we run Louisiana, and it's very, I mean, they really make it difficult for a promotion to grow. It's I mean, we actually had a show where we sold out weeks in advance and couldn't open up the building to sell the rest of the tickets because once the attendance got over 400, the requirements with the ambulances and the doctors and the police, you couldn't have recouped enough money. So you actually made money running a smaller show than expanding and pleasing your fan base. Cause we turned away a lot of loyal customers. Cause it was, it was Cassidy Riley retiring. And we told everybody, hey, it's going to sell out. This is going to sell out early. And those that didn't believe it found out. So it's good. Glad to hear you got a commission that's not really going out of their way to break your back.
Yeah, they make a little bit of money off the licenses, and I think that's pretty much it. They really don't get too involved other than that, really.
Cool. So I want to know when you and Logan finally said, you know what, we're going to regret if we don't do this. Like, did you have like a notebook, like stuff you all have been writing forever? Did you put together like a five-year plan? Like, how did you all really, I mean, like you said, you wanted to be part of the community. You wanted to center it, you know, in the areas that you were familiar with. How did this really all come about? And how did you decide what you were going to do to move forward?
Yeah, we had had discussions before about, you know, some different ideas and different things we'd want to do storyline wise or, you know, event wise and things like that, if we were ever able to start up a company. And I think for us, you know, we really, our goal was to make entertaining content that eventually we could share a lot of places. So our eye kind of from the start was on creating content that we could get out there, whether it was on a streaming platform or YouTube and things of that sort. And the live event was kind of going to be, you know, part of that, but our ultimate goal is really to be able to get content out there. And so that allowed us to make sure, you know, we prioritized, okay, if we're going to spend a little bit of extra money, it's going to be on making sure we had the right people to shoot, making sure, you know, we get the product produced the right way and have an outlet for that. So we have some ideas about, you know, where we want to be here in a couple of years as it's continued to grow. And there's definitely been learnings for us just from the standpoint of working with talent and getting guys booked and making sure we're budgeting properly based on who we book and how we're going to promote things. Cause a lot of that at first we kind of shot for the moon and then had to rein ourselves back in a little bit.
Sure. Well, and the three of us had talked about, we definitely think your production is very well, you know, we watched your show, what was the last one? Because this, you're having one coming up that's a Rumble, right?
Right, yeah. So we just had a Do or Die in July.
Yes.
That had a fun main event. And then we had a big show in June, Annie Up, that had Matt Cardona and Bobby Fish and Dango on there. That was our biggest star power show that we've had so far.
Is that going to be like your WrestleMania? Is that going to be your WrestleMania show? Like, is that the biggest show? Or are you thinking, or have you even made that decision yet?
Yeah, right now we're kind of in the mindset of, you know, each show we're going to kind of give a different name to it. Now, the one coming up in August is back at that location in Versailles where everything started. Mm-hmm. And so that one, I could see that being an annual tradition, the Raider Rumble. Kind of plays off the local high school mascot as the Raiders. So that's something I could see being a real big deal for us each year and try to look for some of those traditions that we can carry on.
Yeah.
I'm glad I see that you've got Cincinnati's own Brian Pillman Jr. I'm sure that'll be a good draw for the area there. Go ahead, Jared. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, he's really popular, you know, around Cincinnati and our area. So we're always happy to work with Brian. He's great.
That's right. He just did an intergender match for y'all, right?
Yeah.
Last show
that was March, wasn't it?
That was this last show in July. So
yeah,
that one, we just recently able to get that up on Premiere. So it's up on Premiere streaming.
I've been watching your content and it was running together on which shows were which.
Exactly. And, you know, speaking of Premiere, like you said, your goal was to get content and have a streaming platform, and you're on Premiere Streaming Network. That's awesome. How did that come about?
Yeah, no, Josh Chernoff, you know, we kind of touched base with him and his team, and, you know, obviously they're looking to grow and reach out to a lot of up and coming companies out there that are bringing content on, and they were so easy to work with and get a partnership worked out, and they've been great getting our shows up there. We had worked it out kind of middle of this year, and they got our earlier shows from March and May on there really quick, and, you know, we're just really happy to be part of that family, really, because that the Premier Network is really growing, and I think that's something that's going to be a huge thing for wrestling in these next few years.
I think it's fantastic just how much, I mean, that's becoming the hub for independent wrestling, and you can get on there and you can watch all kinds of promotions, and it's just really cool that you guys are getting on there and people can watch you from Hawaii or all over the world. So that's pretty cool.
I preach on here all the time to support indie wrestling. It's not the minor leagues. They're not any less than they're some of them are starting out. Some of them are just, they're the exact same as what you see on television without the opportunity yet.
Yeah. Exactly. And what's great for us too in Cincinnati, I mean, there's a lot of companies that run in kind of the greater Cincinnati area. Cincinnati is a real hotbed for wrestling. I feel like just the Midwest in general. And, you know, for us, we want everybody to succeed. You know, we try to strategically plan our shows to make sure maybe they don't conflict with some of the organizations, because we are really aiming to only run, you know, maybe 6 to 8, you know, maybe 9 shows a year. Whereas I know there's still a lot of the organizations around here that are running, you know, maybe not weekly, but, you know, monthly for sure, maybe sometimes twice a month. And, you know, for us, we want everybody to do well. There's a couple companies here that have been great, you know, partners a little bit with us, you know, that we help them out with some shows and they help us out with some shows. And I think that's what everybody should really strive to be. You know, we're all here to succeed and do well.
Right. Exactly. Work for the greater good.
Jared, exactly. I got a question about your writing and your storylines. How do you keep those in sync when you have your shows so far apart and maybe someone doesn't come back that was going to, and you kind of have to redo your storyline, so to speak? Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, that's really been, you know, probably our biggest challenge this year. You know, last year obviously was really about getting the company launched, establishing an initial champion, which was VSK, who a lot of people know from AEW, the Jeeves K character. And then this year, it has been a challenge when you work with some guys who are AEW guys. You work with some other guys who are maybe some one-offs like Cardona or Bobby Fish that you want to bring in. And then you have other guys that are more local that you do want to build around. You know, one of the guys that we really think a lot of and have tried to work a lot of things around is Myron Reed, who I think he is so talented. I am really shocked that he isn't signed to one of the bigger companies at this point. Big star with MLW. And so, you know, we're kind of trying to take advantage of, you know, he's kind of somebody we can work with a lot this year and build something around. And hopefully we can do that. And then that way, if, you know, later he gets signed somewhere, you know, we've been able to work through having him be a big part of our storylines. But we've tried to identify maybe a couple of ongoing stories with guys that we are pretty confident we can book regularly. Whether it's Jake Christo, who I mentioned, who's local, you know, or Myron, or, you know, our current champion, Trey Lamar. They're guys that we felt we could book pretty consistently based on them being in the Midwest. And then that allows us maybe to sprinkle some of the other guys in to do some one-off, you know, maybe self-contained angles here and there, and just, you know, try to identify some guys that we could book for the future. You know, like a Matt Diesel is from Louisville, Kentucky, or the area down there, who we feel like is a strong up and comer. And, you know, he's somebody we can look to build a story for, because he's somebody that you know, should be able to be regularly booked for us for a while. So guys like that we can really get behind, we'll find some stories for, and the others, you know, we can just, you know, see what really comes up.
Do you want to go ahead?
No, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, well, you said Trey Lamar, and, you know, is he a good guy or a bad guy? Because he turned on his friend, right, to take the title.
Yeah, that was a big match. Yeah, that was a big story that we were trying to play all this season. You know, Trey and Myron definitely have a history as training partners and, you know, as being friends. And, you know, Myron had a shot at the title with VSK back at the Squared Circle Expo, where we had Trey kind of get involved to kind of see, you know, how that would play out. And a lot of our fans were really interested in, was that an accident with him and Myron? Or so we were able to really kind of play off that and have some intrigue as the year went along. And, you know, we're really excited now that Trey has kind of been able to get out of that kind of gray area and show, you know, he's really about the title, and he's, you know, been able to cash in his chip from Annie up and become the champion, you know, right as Myron had finally, you know, dethroned VSK as a champion.
It's an epic match too. I mean,
it was.
It pulled me in. I was pulling for Myron.
Well, and Trey Lamar, he didn't let on, like, right away. He didn't come out and, you know, like, he helped him, you know, he helped him up, checking on him. And then, I mean, he soaked me in. I was like, oh, this is nice. Yep.
I knew. Darn. I knew he was cashing that chip in, but.
I always hope that they're not, because, you know, I'm always like, no, they're friends. He wouldn't do that.
But I like that Myron still had fight in him and he didn't just go quick.
Well, yeah.
He still had a little fight in him, even though he'd been attacked. And because so often whenever those cash-in matches, normally you just go in and make the cover over.
Yeah.
And I really liked it. I thought that the storytelling on that show was great. And I got one. I'm going to go to before I ask my next question, before I forget, Holly Dizzle in the chat wanted to know, who were your all-time favorite wrestlers? So I know we established Savage.
Yeah, we talked about Macho Man. You know, I was always a big fan of Mr. Perfect and Ted DiBiase during those days. I was so excited to have Ted DiBiase at our show in March, you know, to have him actually in town and be able to meet him in person. And I picked him up at the airport and you know, took him to the hotel and all these things and got to spend time, and just hearing some of the stories from him was just so incredible. But that character just was so great. All those vignettes, just such a great hateable character, was so cool. And then, you know, more recent times, you know, Shawn Michaels just always was so great. Logan and I both loved his DX persona. We loved when he was finally just able to be, you know, just a complete snot as the DX guy. And then
we always wanted to do.
So he was able to be himself. That's what you're saying.
Exactly. Yeah. Just let it all out, you know? And then, you know, I mean, who didn't like, you know, get into Steve Austin, but he was awesome there. And of course these days I'm a huge CM Punk fan. I've been a Punk fan ever since, you know, the pipe bomb, and even before that. You know, I had a chance to meet him at one of the Chicago Comic Cons when he was there with WWE, and that was just the coolest thing to meet him there. And then, of course, when he came back at StarCast, I couldn't miss that either, obviously.
Well, I've got one. There was one name that – I got a couple names that weren't on the show that I wanted to ask you about. Carson Drake. Man, that guy, he's got something.
He does. He's somebody that at one of the other local shows that we were talking about. And if you get a chance on a premiere, if you want to check out Spot Monkey Promotions, that's another local Cincy company that's on there. It's run by Tim Tatum, and he does a great job. And at one of his shows, Carson was working, and he had Jimmy Hart there as a special guest. And Jimmy Hart, I was sitting next to him because I was helping with the meet and greet. Jimmy Hart raved about Carson Drake and about how great he was at selling and getting heat and working for everybody in the crowd. I think Carson has the total package. He's still a young guy that's learning the way, but he's got a great look. He can talk you to hate in his guts, and then back it up. So I think he's got a bright future for sure.
Oh, and for those that don't know, this Carson Drake comes out and he has a megaphone, and he'll talk to the referee through the megaphone. He'll talk to his opponent. He'll use it as a weapon eventually, but don't immediately think Jimmy Hart, because it's more of a Eric Cartman with a megaphone is what I got from him. The way that he incorporates it, just the way that he would yell at somebody through it. And then, like I said, he used it as a weapon. But his presence, the fact that when he came through the curtain, you knew you had to hate him.
Yeah.
By the time he got in the ring, you really hated him. So
instant heat.
Yes. And somebody else that you have on your roster that we're really high on is Kaia McKenna. Mm-hmm. She's our favorite witch.
Yeah, she, you know, and she's, this is a case again, the happy kind of accidents you run into a little bit sometimes is for our June show, we originally had a ladies match book there, and Lainey Luck had to pull out of that show. So she actually recommended Kaia to us. And, you know, we were able to connect with Kaia, and she could not have been more awesome to work with. You know, as it so happens, a lot of times in wrestling, you know, some of the people show up and they'll bring some people with them to help out with setup or with things with the ring and everything. And she brought a couple guys with her to help out. And they were great to work with, you know, from that kind of the Black and Brave Academy there. They teach them right there, you know, Seth's school that he and his partner have there. So, yeah, we're looking forward to having Kaia back for sure.
I wish we could get her down here in Louisiana, Mississippi.
Yeah, that's the problem too with us is she's only kind of in the Midwest at certain points. I know a lot of times she's out on the East Coast. Sometimes she's through the Midwest. So, you know, it's a little bit of a challenge to find a new date, but we're excited.
But such a great attitude, and she's so helpful behind the scenes. And just, I can't say enough good about her. We love her to death.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Is there anybody on this roster, which, I mean, you may not want to answer this question, that you really think, I mean, you've mentioned a few. I mean, Carson Drake was definitely one that you really are like, that's a gem. Like, that person right there has got it that's on your roster. And like I said, you may not want to point anybody out, but I'm just wondering if you're like, keep your eyes on this person.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys on there that I really like. You know, Eric James is somebody that, you know, we really had hoped to do a lot more with him. He is from the Create a Pro group, you know, out on the East Coast. And again, just the realities of being a, you know, local promotion in the Midwest, you know, trying to fly some of these guys in on a regular basis just becomes, you know, a cost issue. So, you know, but Eric, he's another guy. He comes out singing a lot of times, singing like a Backstreet Boys song to lead himself to the ring. And I just think he has so much potential as either a heel or eventually a baby face. And, you know, he can do all the work in the ring, too. So
Didn't he sing I Want It That Way?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, he did.
Yeah. I remember him. That was such a great entrance.
He's so good, and he can back it up in the ring too. It's great. So I wish we could do a lot more with him. You know, another guy that you know, we really, really like is Blake Wright, who has been on a couple of our shows lately. You know, a younger guy kind of coming out of the Indianapolis area. You know, he's built real athletically. He's got a nice presence around him. He lives it out as the, you know, number one draft pick of wrestling. Shows up in a suit and great outfit to the show. I mean, he's got a lot of character there and a lot of athleticism. And I think he's another guy who, you know, has the full package there to really do something in the future. And then one other name again that we both really like a lot is Stephen Wolf, who he's been on several of our shows. You know, does some great aerial moves, great technician as well. He's working out of Texas now, kind of working, you know, down in like the Houston area. But he's originally from Peoria, Illinois. That's how we kind of got connected to him. But I think he's another guy that could have a really, really bright future in the wrestling business as he continues to grow, continues to, you know, get bigger and stronger. I think he's got a lot of potential.
And you've got great announcers too. Who are your announcers that you have on your shows?
Yeah, we've been fortunate enough to have Joe Dombrowski, you know, be our kind of main play-by-play guy. You know, a lot of people know him from MLW, obviously, and I think he worked the Ric Flair's last match show. Did some work there for that. He's just really awesome. Joe is a top professional, and we've been able to have him work a little bit on alongside of Nate Pelly, who's a local manager here, who's really, really great at getting heat and, you know, knows a lot of our guys really well. And so they've been a great pair there for a lot of our shows. And I think they do a great job helping us, you know, really get across what we want to highlight for each match and each character.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely.
Sam Bill was on a show WrestleMania weekend last year. Or earlier this year. No. WrestleMania weekend last year in Dallas. And my wife is the one that remembered him. She was out there in the crowd watching all the matches. And the Perminator.
The Perminator, yeah.
And so, I mean, he really resonated with her. And immediately she goes, hey, that's the guy from Fort Worth.
I'm gonna start calling my 80-year-old grandpa that now because he has a big white perm. I'm gonna start calling
him. I hate that I shaved my perm before the Terminator became a deal, because I'm sure I would have come up with calling myself the Perminator.
See, you could have been the first one.
I could have. All I need is another nickname.
That's right, exactly. Yeah.
Sam's another one. He's so awesome. Such a great guy. He and his wife not long ago had their first child. And he really resonates with our kids. Like, you know, they really have gravitated toward him at a lot of our shows. You know, that is the big thing for us is we do it as a family friendly show. You know, we don't do a lot of the crazy, you know, hardcore stuff or, you know, do, you know, blood and things like that, just because we want to make sure that, you know, it's a family-friendly environment for a lot of these things. And the kids just love Sam.
I did want to ask earlier, we had a picture of your champion, Trey Lamar, up. And he has some interesting hair there. Allison, I would love to hear your opinion in the chat, what you feel about Trey's hair there. I dig it. I kind of like it.
It's definitely a unique look. Yeah, it's definitely a look.
But Allison is the end-all, be-all judge on hair, so that's why I was wanting her opinion on this.
Yeah, I think we have heat now that I shaved, because I've said I shaved my perm. I'd get another one, but you'd have to have a bag of rice to roll it.
Oh, she's given her a...
She just gave it. There it is. He's
oh, hair is thin. Okay.
Yeah. There was another comment. Mark Buffalo said, Jared, I will check it out. I did some stories on Championship Wrestling of Arkansas a few years back that was promoted by Matt Rivera. Loved working with those guys and writing stories on their fundraising events for my newspaper at the time. So
yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, we've been looking at, you know, potentially doing things like that too. You know, at our old high school, we've kind of talked with them maybe at some point about doing a fundraiser show. To help support their scholarship fund there, and things like that. You know, like I said earlier, you know, we definitely want to be part of the communities there. So things like that, you know, we're all about, you know, seeing what we can do to help out.
Wrestling's a great fundraiser.
Yeah. With the way we explained it to them is, you know, part of it is ticket sales, obviously, but again, you can sell sponsorships of the matches. You can have your silent auction table there. You can run a 50-50 raffle, you know, all of those kind of things. We would let them, you know, be able to sell. And it's just us really bringing the show there and sharing some of the ticket revenue. But then they have all those kind of resources that they can make some extra money off of. And, you know, we're happy to let them do it.
I was recently part of a fundraiser show at a high school, SPW. And I'm thinking we get 750 in the auditorium, in the basketball gym. No names. They did it with their regular talent, so they didn't have to bring anybody in for it.
That's perfect.
So, and I mean the kids had contests on who could sell the most tickets, and they one of the I want to say the assistant principal's wrestler. they incorporated a coach in because I was out of the ring trying to break up everybody up. And then the coach jumped the rail and slid in and made a three count. And I'm like, so, I mean, and they do it once a year.
And I'm sure that got a huge pop when coach come in and got the three.
Oh, yeah. The champion got pinned in a non-title affair. So, I mean, it was a tag match, but the champion got pinned and he hadn't been pinned in a long time. So it was great. I mean, it's when you get those schools, they'll have you back every year. And
yeah.
And I think too, when I went to go see BIW in July 1st, Dave was the ref. There was a gentleman on the show that was from Vicksburg. And again, I think a lot of times people, even though he was the heel, people like seeing the hometown boy. I mean, they like seeing that. So I'm sure if you had local, if there was other talents on there that was local, I'm sure that helps too, the crowd, wanting to come.
Yeah, we always get that question, when we're booking out, is there anybody local that's going to be on the show? And we try to, definitely do that, bring some folks there that are willing to check it out. And a lot of times their families will come, when they're want to see their kids wrestle or their niece or nephew wrestle, things like that.
That'd be so Wes Warren.
Wes Warren, yeah. If you ever want to bring somebody up from down here, he's angry. That kind of heel. He's just angry, mad at the world. Of course, he baby faced Vicksburg, but he's mad at the world, and it's just a great. I mean, he's gone to Houston and wrestled at Booker's, and I mean, I've worked shows for him in the Jackson area with him that when he was starting out, and he's come so far. Got a good look to him.
He's pale though, so when he gets chopped, the handprint still stays, and so I think people like that too. And he sells it very well, as you can imagine. But that was, that was kind of cool. And I think people probably would be excited to go see someone from the hometown, living out their dream. I think that would be pretty cool.
Hey, let me ask you about this venue that you have, the Fitton Center and Fitton Center for Creative Arts, Hamilton, Ohio. Is that like a community theater?
Yeah. So this was a really great find from Logan's, because again, thinking back to us wanting to do something that would look good for TV, this Fitton Center, it's as it sounds, it's a creative arts center. So you've got a lot of artwork on the walls through there. You got meeting rooms and classrooms and things like that. But they do have a family theater set up. That is seats about 240 theater style seats, no folding chairs, none of bleachers. You're sitting in nice theater style seats all the way around. And there's really just the perfect amount of space on this little kind of rubberized staging area for us to set the ring. Now, again, there's not a whole lot of space around the ringside area, so you can't get too crazy. The guys have to be a little cognizant of that when they're doing some of the moves to the outside. But we haven't really had any issues, and I think the guys have found plenty of ways to work around that. But I think it shoots really well on camera. You got the curtain that's already there that the guys can come out of. We haven't really utilized it yet, but there's a video wall on kind of the back wall that we could potentially use, maybe to show highlights before the show to catch people up on. What's happened in previous shows and things like that. And it's just turned out great. And we can use their lighting, their sound system and everything there. So they've been great partners with it. And they've really welcomed us. At first we weren't sure, like, how is this,
it's a unique partnership.
Yeah. I'm always amazed when a nice venue wants wrestling, because you'd be surprised how many crappy venues don't want wrestling.
Oh, we've had a couple that have turned us down, that's not the entertainment for them. So, they've really welcomed us into it. They love the idea of getting a different crowd to kind of experience what the center is. where we have our meet and greets and kind of our merch section is in the dance studio. So, you know, one day you'll have, you know, Eric Rowan and all these wrestlers in there signing autographs. And then the next day there's dance class for, you know, 8-year-olds.
You know, it's probably a pretty cool, it's a pretty cool place to wrestle for the wrestlers just because you kind of got the people sitting up above you, right?
Well, and the acoustics are great.
Yeah. So
even when, you know, our shows, we probably average somewhere in the neighborhood of, you know, anywhere from 130 to 150 people, you know, that show up there. But 150 people in a small venue like that sounds awesome when they're into it. So for the guys, it's great to work in because they can, you know, easily, you know, gauge how the crowd's doing and the people are right there. Everybody's right there in the action.
Your partner's in the chat.
Yeah, I saw that. So good. Yeah, what a great partnership. Like you said, wrestling is theater. And so here you are able to be in a theater, basically, with the lighting and the stage and the seating. I mean,
that is
such a great partnership.
I liked that there was nobody behind the ring.
Yeah.
Because when I watched it, I mean, I guess you know now that you'll never watch wrestling like you watched it when you were just a fan.
Right. Yeah.
I normally watch through the eyes of a referee. And so immediately I was like, okay, I'm trying to figure out the hard cam. Am I on the side that has the entrance or am I playing to the wall? You know, I mean, that's how I was looking at it, but I was thinking that wall's cool. And when I was a little kid, it always comes back to World Class Wrestling for me. On Saturday nights, they filmed it with Will Rogers Will Rogers Coliseum, which was a rodeo arena. But if they had the rodeo or the stock show, they'd move them into the Will Rogers Auditorium. So they put the ring up on the stage. So it was a similar setup. The only difference is they had an orchestra pit. So sometimes they throw them in the orchestra pit. But I always liked it. For some reason, I always liked that the ring being on a stage. And when I saw that setup, I was like, man, I'd like to work a show in that building. That's a pretty neat setup. And then you can see how nice the seats are, but you have to look real quick because there's not a whole lot of seats that are empty.
Yeah. That's a good thing.
It's a great place to film your program.
Yeah, and it works out perfect too because in the upper level there's a couple of little nooks. One that's perfect for Joe and Nate to have their commentary table set up at. You know, it's kind of for them to set up and really overlook the action, but have a great vantage point. And then that's kind of the next to there is where we have the hard cam. So it's kind of set up, you know, looking down sort of at an angle at the ring, but you see the entranceway great. You know, and then we have, the crew, you know, down working around the ringside to get all the action down there too.
So how many towns do you actually run in? Do you have your loop or will you do the same? Do you do the same town twice in a row or?
Right. So right now the two places we've run regularly are Versailles and Hamilton, which is Hamilton's where the Fitton Center is.
Okay.
The show we ran in June was in Lawrenceburg, Indiana. That's kind of around where basically the all three states meet up. That's where the whole tri-state comes from, of course. But that was a show in partnership with Hollywood Casino there in Lawrenceburg.
That's what I was just getting ready to ask you, if it was based around the casino.
That's the one that's right across the river from Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been there. I went to a meeting there one time.
They have a big racetrack there too, right, Jared?
Yeah, Lawrenceburg Speedway is right there. Do a big dirt track racing that they get, a lot of great events at. And Lawrenceburg is kind of sort of like the big city for those of us who grew up out in the sticks. But you know, so right now those are the two regulars we run. You know, we would like to run maybe a one or two shows a year in Lawrenceburg. Continue to do that, and then. You know, maybe try to find another venue, maybe on the west side of Cincinnati, you know, something like that, that we could run regularly. Cause again, we also don't want to encroach too much on some of the companies that have been running for a while, You know, the Spot Monkey Promotions I mentioned, he runs a lot of stuff on the east side of Cincinnati. He lives more on the east side of there. So, you know, we kind of, you know, we don't really look for any spots out there, just let him kind of handle that. And then, you know, there's some other places that run kind of a little bit, you know, kind of, you know, central Cincinnati area. So we haven't looked as much there, but I'd love for us to get, say, you know, three or four venues that we know that we're going to run each year, you know, whether it's once or twice a year or whether it's like Hamilton where it could be four to five times.
Right. Is a casino, I mean, is that a good group or good place? You know, obviously you're going to have people there. I mean, did you see a good crowd? Like, are you encouraged by the, I don't know. Are you encouraged by that, saying, you know, we could do a show here in Lawrenceburg? Like, there was plenty of action and plenty of people who wanted to see us.
Yeah, it actually worked out well, because it wasn't actually at the casino. So it was at their event center, which had a giant ballroom in there. And again, they had great lighting set up for us, you know, lots of space, you know, rooms that we could use for the meet and greets and for the locker room, and had a lot of space there. And it's also connected to a hotel there that then, you know, we were able to have the guys stay at. So, you know, for the bigger name guys like Carlito and Matt Cardona and those guys that were there, you know, the event is at the same place as their hotel. So it helps us out, you know, from a transportation standpoint. And the Hollywood folks were great about arranging pickup at the airport and taking the guys to the airport afterward. Mm-hmm. And for them, it's about obviously getting people down who they can then shuttle over to the casino after the show. So,
right. Sure. This is a 2-for-1 deal. You watch wrestling and then you spend the rest of your money here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So that was it was a sold show for us. They, you know, they handled, you know, all of the ticket sales and just trying to get people down to the show itself.
Awesome. Can't beat those sold shows.
Yeah. That took a little pressure off. That's for sure.
I bet. Do you want to ask Mark's question? Can you see
Mark Buffalo wants to know, as a promoter of a small territory, what do you think of heels?
Yeah.
I'm sure he's talking about the show.
Yeah, I love that. I love the first season of that show. I'm so glad that new season is coming out here soon. I thought, you know, Stephen Amell and everybody with that show did a really good job of how they treated wrestling. You know, we all know that sometimes with TV and movies, you know, you never know what kind of angle you're going to get on pro wrestling. But I thought the first season of that, they did a really good job with it. And, you know, that would be a really cool thing to do at some point. If we were ever in a position where we had a venue and on our own building that we could run on a monthly basis, or, you know, semi-weekly basis, or something like that. I mean, that would be really cool to be able to do that at some point. I don't know if we'll both ever get there, but that would be a really great.
It can be done, and then you'd be able to maybe write episodically.
Yeah,
there's a where I started was PCW in Arlington, Texas, and they had a school. So on Friday night, we did PCW Uncut, which was, nobody got paid for Uncut. It was just basically the school was doing, and they'd bring, you know, some of the guys could get ring time. But then the next night was PCW, what, their regular show, and it was actually taped for television, syndicated locally. But the not syndicated, it was on one of the local UHF channels. Yeah. But I mean, Lance Archer got a star. He was Dallas there. Action Jackson, yeah. A lot of, you know, Mike Fox. There's a lot of Tim Storm was through there. But what I'm saying is the school tied in to a practice show to have the regular show, Full Throttle. And the promoter, after the owners decided they wanted to go into MMA, and they killed PCW. Mm-hmm. Now you have Metroplex Wrestling in Bedford, Texas, and they run every week.
Mm-hmm.
And they name every show. Now, sometimes the bigger shows will be the same next year, but,
gotcha.
But every week every week there's a name, but it's episodic wrestling. Mm-hmm. And they got their own building, and, you know, it's there.
And I think for us, that, you know, if we could find the right partner to do that with, you know, the right guy that would be a trainer and open a school, like we would love to do that, because that's the part of it right now. You know, we can work with the storylines, but you know, we're working with guys who for the most part are already established characters. You know, there's a couple guys that are younger guys who we're kind of working with, and they've been open to saying, you know, hey, I'm open to feedback you guys have about my character. And we've talked with them about some ideas, but that would be something we would love to do, is be able to take some kids that are coming through wrestling school and then working with them on character ideas. Cause those, we've got a million of those stored up, you know, from all of our kind of fantasy booking and stuff over the years, and characters we'd love to see, you know, come into play one day and things like that. So I, you know, we would love to do that at some point for sure.
So if anybody out there is in the central Indiana area and has a wrestling background and would like to open a wrestling school, you need to call Jared, because he might have some, y'all might be able to work together and get something going. Or if you have a wrestling school and you're like, man, if I could just find a promoter that I really wanted to work with, Jared and Logan might be your men. So you need to look him up.
We've had a lot of people asking Jared, and I want to make sure we don't forget this. Can you tell everyone where everyone can find you, and so they can follow you guys and know when your events are coming up and all that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I appreciate you bringing that up. So on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, you can find us at TSW Pro Wrestling. Same handle for all three of those. We try to keep up with that quite a bit and make our announcements there for the most part. You can find us, you know, on the web, tristatewrestlingonline.com. You'll usually see there kind of whatever our upcoming events are and links to get tickets and everything. Our next show is coming up August 12th. We try to pretty much have all of our shows on Saturdays for the most part, but August 12th, the Raider Rumble, it's in Versailles, Indiana. Like I said, probably about an hour, maybe hour west of Cincinnati. But you know, we're going to have Trey Lamar is going to defend his title there. We're going to have a battle royal to start out the show, and whoever wins the battle royal will get to face Trey later that night in the main event. So,
Amy, we might have to make an appearance at this. How far is that from you, Amy? Indiana, not too far, right? Well, we can't hear you. And it's about a 4-hour drive for me, so I could definitely show up, maybe 3.5.
How far is that from like a New Albany and Jeffersonville, Indiana? Like, how far is that from Louisville?
I would say from Louisville, it's probably about maybe 1.5 hours, something like that.
Oh yeah, we can do this. We might be able to get Pondwater Dave booked. You never know.
Hey, yeah.
May 18th.
Justin, why don't you see if you can get a number? You could be the surprise entrant into the Raider Rumble.
I don't think anything. I don't think anyone's looking for me.
We always look for a good mystery opponent there.
Exactly.
Hey, I do have stripes, though. I do have stripes. I am a wrestler.
I've got boots, tights, and a mask. I can go into a rumble. I've been over the top rope. I can go in the ring and come out of the and over the top rope with the best of them.
Hey, we got money for extra paydays.
Well, hey, Amy, we might have
referee
to
Brandon Toll.
Yeah, Brandon's done a bunch of our shows. There's, you know, we've got a couple other guys that work in there too. So, you know, nice crew of officials. We got some nice TSW branded referee shirts. So, get make the guys official.
Another good refs fan, Brandon.
They're all good referees. They were working with them and not standing around watching. There's a real shortage of good referees.
Brandon,
you hear it all the time, and you got a good crew there. From top to bottom, I'm thoroughly impressed with your promotion.
Definitely.
And we can't thank you enough for coming on our show tonight and talking about it.
No, I appreciate you guys inviting me on, giving me a chance to talk about it. You know, it's been a fun experience, and you know, there's been a couple of the top guys from our ad-free shows group that's come to a couple of our shows. So yeah, it's been great having some of the folks from our group pop out there.
Yes, we're going to tell Josh Fields. Was he one of him? Was he one of them that has come yet? He lives around in that area. We're going to have to make sure he knows about this because he lives up there by Cincinnati.
We might have to round up a group of slapdicks August 12th and show up at this place.
Yeah, I think that would be great. That'd be a fun time.
Heck yeah. And congratulations on being on Premier Streaming Network. You know, again, you're going to be able to get a lot more eyes on your product, and it's a very good promotion. And I really enjoyed when we watched it the other day, and can't wait to, I love a good Rumble. So I will definitely, if I'm not there on the 12th, I will be watching because I do kind of like the BSK. I mean, he's got a good beard. And so I like that. So, you know,
VSK was great.
He really carried the flag for us, you know, our first year. So he was a great first champion, you know, really represented us well out there and was always, you know, accommodating for us and making us a priority to make our shows. You know, a guy from the East Coast, there's plenty of shows he could do out there, you know, with his background with Creative Pro and everything. And, you know, he was committed to us to helping us build what we have here. You know, we wouldn't be to this point without him.
Exactly.
You have five referees.
We kind of mixed around a little bit. So Brandon, I know, is kind of out of St. Louis now. So he's going to be a little bit tougher to kind of mix in. I think some he had mentioned he's probably going to start taking more bookings around St. Louis. But, Jake Cloyd has worked for OVW before. He's great. You know, Peyton and Lucky are a couple of our regulars too. And Aaron was at our June show, just based on scheduling, we had to find somebody, and Aaron was great. So I could totally see us having him back again as well.
I got to hang out with Brandon a couple years ago in St. Louis when Tony and Conrad had a live show down there, and it was a blast. He's a very good referee. I like watching him.
I got to work with him at Top Guy Weekend.
I was going to say, Brandon was at – oh, well, that's right, Justin. I'm sorry. I was like, Brandon was at Top Guy Weekend with us. Yeah. That was fun. That was real fun.
Allison Faye's in.
Yeah.
There we go. This has been fun. I think I can tell by the reaction from the people in the chat that they really enjoy kind of an inside look at independent wrestling and what it takes to run it. Not a lot of people think about, you know, all the things that we've talked about here tonight when it comes to the details of running shows. So we've enjoyed that, Jared. Thank you for coming on here with us.
Yeah, it's definitely been an eye-opening experience for us about what all goes into it. You know, we still love doing it, but it's definitely been a lot more work, and you know, we're just looking forward to continuing to move forward and seeing what we can build on here.
Well, we definitely want you to come back, and I know our audience would love to have you come back, and you know, after a few more shows, we'd love to hear what's going on. And obviously, everyone needs to follow you on Twitter, Facebook, so you can keep up with it. Because who knows? His show was August 12th. Look at how many people were like, that's not very far. I might have to, you know, I might have to see what Versailles, Indiana has in store for me. So,
yeah, we'd love to have all of you there.
Yep. Go ahead and give that Twitter handle one more time before we jump off here, Jared.
Yeah, no, it's at TSW Pro Wrestling. Find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram using that handle. We'd love to have you give us a follow. And, you know, again, let us know what you think of our shows. If you check us out on Premier Streaming, you know, we'd love any and all feedback that you guys have.
Definitely. All right. Now, Dave, you got anything before we?
No, I appreciate it. Go out of your way to watch Tri-State Wrestling. Definitely. You know, this is the show I watched. When I watched it earlier today, it was a 2-hour show. It was great.
Absolutely.
And you can't ask for, I mean, great action from top to bottom. I really thoroughly enjoyed it. Jared, I can't thank you enough for coming on our show. Best of luck to you in the future. You have an open invitation. Anytime you want to come over, come on and promote what you got going on. Our door is always open for you.
Thanks. I really appreciate you guys, giving us this platform here, and it's been a blast for me. So I'm happy to join you guys again anytime.
Next time, bring Logan with you.
Yeah, I'll see if I can get him out of the shadows. He kind of likes to be the man behind the scenes and, you know, not really get too much in the spotlight. But I'm sure I can drag him on for the next one.
Oh, Logan's telling us it has a great pizza place. So, I mean, he's really selling Versailles, Indiana.
He's selling tickets in our chat right now.
Exactly. There we go.
That is a promoter. Guys,
exactly.
For Jared Rollins of Tri-State Wrestling, for Pondwater Dave, for the First Lady of the Arn Anderson Fan Club, Amy Vaughn, my name is Justin Davis. Please take care of yourself and each other. So long, everyone.